All lines are now bridged.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the HITECH's annual report virtual workgroup meeting. We are nearing the end here of yet another report. So we have our small but mighty team, Carolyn Peterson, Erin Mary, and Brett Oliver. At this point, I will turn it over to the group to start the discussion.
Yeah, good morning, everybody. Welcome, welcome, welcome. I think, Carolyn, you're still getting up and running, so if you want, I can go ahead and kick into the slides if you want.
Go for it.
All right, let me just go ahead and start this off. All right, so obviously we are well underway. So today we're going to be doing, obviously, talk about our meeting schedules, which are just at the end of this cycle, and then we get to start the next report, and then talk about some of the draft comments, and then, of course, open up for public comment here. So let's get into it. Next slide, please. So we are, like I said, just about at the very, very end of all of this. So today we have our meeting, and then obviously we hope to transmit to our new national coordinator, Mickey Tripathi, probably in the next couple of weeks. And then obviously that will be transmitted on to the Congress per 21st Century Cures. This report is just really coming together so well. And up front, I just want to just thank Michelle, Murray, and Elise, and the whole ONC team, and on top of putting this fabulous report together, they're also transitioning, you know, bosses and all kinds of things. So you can only imagine the busyness behind the scenes, but this is really, really a great report. And so just my hats off to them and the hard work they've done. Next slide. Okay, and then so for the full HITECH, we obviously met on January 13th. We've gotten some good feedback. We also got some feedback and comments, which we will, I think, review today and kind of confirm. And then, of course, at the February 10th meeting of the HITECH, which amazingly is right around the corner, we will approve the final annual report, which is exciting. Next slide. Okay, so we will, I guess, discuss any revisions today. We will vote at the end of the HITECH meeting on February 10th to approve the final report. And then, of course, at that point, it will be transmitted to the national coordinator. Sometime February, March timeframe. Next slide. All right, so let's get into this. Next slide. Is that the last slide there? It may be.
Yeah, the next one is the public comment slide.
Okay, yeah. So let's go into the attached comments then. That may be the easiest thing, the red line or the draft member comment form. There we go. Okie doke. Can you blow that up for me a little bit, please? There we go. All right. Sorry. My eyesight before morning coffee doesn't get there. All right. So let's So on the section here, and I'm going to actually pull up my copy as well, just because I can scroll without messing up the whole thing. Stephen Lane had some suggestions, obviously, related to the section on the federal activities across target areas. And one of his items was really just making sure that there was greater coordination of the federal health IT efforts. I think we continue to say this year after year, although it's getting a lot better. So the proposed here is basically no action, but I do want to recognize this comment that more coordination across all of the federal entities always is a good thing, right? Particularly when you're transitioning administration, you can imagine the chaos. But they've done a really good job, I think, to the best that they could related to COVID and things that we've seen recently. So I think there's no action needed for the report, but we do want to recognize this comment. On the target area for public health, Les brought this up. Again, it was around urgency of public health concerns, really
hey, Aaron,
stress that. Yep.
Can I interrupt you before we go to Les's comment on Stevens?
Yep.
Do we have, help me remember, do we have a place in the report that the coordination between agencies is great, but then also with the state agencies? You know, you've got, for instance, what comes to mind has just been an example for me has been electronic case reporting. And so you've got this desire for the CDC to have electronic case reporting. Okay, so Baptist Health, our organization, we drop everything, we build it. Hey, guess what? They can't receive our reports. We've been built now for 6 months, and we still have to do things manually. So there was no coordination between the state and federal agency in terms of what we need and what you can technically do. We actually had to agree to beta something to get to the front of the line, and we're still 6 months into this with no electronic case reporting. So I don't know if that comment would dovetail with what Stephen had to say, or if we've got that somewhere else in terms of coordinating at the state level. I mean, it's all about coordination, but.
Yeah, no, that's a great question. Michelle, correct me if I'm wrong. I don't recall a specific call out to coordinating federal and state activities, excluding things like HIPAA and other privacy concerns and things like that. But in terms of public health system implementation or those sorts of things, can you correct me if I'm wrong on that one?
I think it's not stated as Brett stated it. It's more in specific topic areas. It's mentioned, but it's not called out at a high level, I don't think. I mean, there is information embedded throughout, so that we haven't not said it. So it's kind of a wishy-washy answer. It's sort of there, but maybe not exactly the way Brett said it.
Yeah.
Well, I know we're deep into this. I'm not suggesting creating a new section or anything like that, but I do think that, the vaccine itself is an example of, you know, the federal government laid it out there and said, all right, states, do what you need to do. And there's just a differing level of ability to implement both operationally and technically, you know, amongst the states.
Totally agree. No, I can see that, Brett. Michelle, would it be difficult to in one of those general coordination comments to kind of highlight coordination among federal and state entities, respective state entities? Is that within our purview to say that?
Probably. I think it gets to a general point you'll run into in the list of comments that there was a point made by a couple of people at the last HITECH meeting that there should be more discussion or more emphasis on public health in the report. So maybe this is part of that, like things have evolved since the first draft was written in the fall. So there is space to do more. You just need to tell us what you want to say.
Okay. Okay. I think it's a fair point. I think Brett's point is a fair point. And he's right. I mean, this most recent activities with related to COVID have really highlighted, particularly vaccine distribution. So let's talk about that. Carolyn, what do you think?
Well, it occurs to me that part of the reason why you see such differing levels of ability to implement things, in some respects, is related to resources. You know, the tax base. And the structure for a place like New York or Florida or California is going to be really different from the situation on the ground in places like Wyoming and Arkansas. And in some respects, the underlying infrastructure and resource base really plays into those issues. And that needs to be acknowledged as well because what you can expect from, you know, a very rural place is different from what you can expect in a major city with public transportation.
This is very true. Well, this is very true. Case in point, my father, who's 70, mid-70s, got his vaccine shot in Mississippi, and they had a National Guard doing the vaccination. Here, we're not doing that in Texas, right? We've got an army of volunteers and clinicians doing it. So you're right. It is very, very different state to state. So maybe the second comment here, or less was, and I kind of echoed it, emphasizing the urgency. It could be also urgency of coordination at a state level and resource availability, right? Coordination of resource availability, which could be dollars, could be peer personnel, whatever. Does that, Brett and Carolyn, does that work?
I would probably use the word prioritization because just to dovetail on Carolyn's comment, the tax bases, let's say, obviously they're going to vary just, let's say, in revenue, but that doesn't mean, like, in my state, it became a priority when, and they spent on their infrastructure when all the hospital systems are like going, your system is 12 years old, we can't even do some of these things. And then it became a priority. Guess what? We've got the money, we'll shift it around. So I would just use the term prioritization.
That's fair. Carolyn?
I would make a case for using prioritization in something else. Case in point, Oregon. They already started with the lowest per capita hospital beds in the United States. They needed to spend money on the National Guard because of the rioting in Portland and other places over the summer. Then we had the wildfires, which further depleted the state coffers. They had very outdated IT systems so that they were actually not able to waive the waiting week for unemployment benefits until November because it took them 8 months to reprogram their systems and then to be able to disperse the additional. It's great to say prioritization, but sometimes you're starting with so little, even if you prioritize, you're still going to fall far short of the goal. And there are other things that you can't control. I mean, you can't just let fires burn because you don't want to spend money on them.
That's true.
No, but I think we can all agree there are state emergencies that happen for everyone, whether it's a teacher's pension plan that's not maybe as dramatic as fires and riots, but that's always there. It's just I think we need to press upon our legislators at a state level. It's not sexy. They don't go back home and go, hey, guess what? We've got a new infrastructure piece for you and vote for me, right? I mean, for us it would be, but there's limited votes in that regard. And, you know, if we can just say for this coordination, it also takes a prioritization at the state level to make this happen. You don't want to end up here again in the pandemic with a broken system.
Yeah.
I totally recognize what you're saying, Carolyn.
Yeah. Maybe Michelle, could you take a stab at some wording? And you and Carolyn are like the geniuses at wordsmithing. Maybe some stab at wording and send it to us for this comment and see if it can grab both prioritization and urgency and allocation of resources. I'm probably using the wrong terminology, but something like that?
Yes, we can do that.
Perfect. Yep. Okay. Let's see if they can wordsmith our broken thoughts into something that hits it out of the park. Because I think it's great points. These are great points. Okay, let's move to the next one here under privacy and security. This is from Terry. His comment was to add mention of national patient identifiers or network of regional enterprise master patient indexes. And the comment back, ONC and therefore the HITECH at our charge, can I use federal funds to discuss a national patient identifier? The HITECH may consider other approaches in the future when responding to the upcoming ONC report as part of the recommended activity. So we can't discuss a national patient identifier, but I've been just thinking a little bit about this because it is a mess, right? I mean, it's throwing up all kinds of roadblocks, and I'm one of two major vaccine hubs for all of Austin. Maybe there's a way to, because I do know that, and you know, Carolyn Brett, I welcome your thoughts on this. I do know that there's been GAO studies done on this. I do know that there has been some level of leniency shown towards HHS to begin to talk about it at a very conceptual level. I think there was a letter written at one point from, I think it was Senate Help, to the secretary saying, hey, just look at this and think about it. Maybe there's some very general ways we can talk about this without discussing the meat and potatoes of it. What do you all think?
I was thinking maybe a general comment to the effect like improved ability to match to reliably match patients to records and health information would improve the functionality or improve our ability to do this without mentioning that specific term or coming up with a solution that is problematic to discuss by name.
Right. That's true. That's a really good approach. Brett, what do you think?
Yeah, I agree. With something along the lines of what she said, to accurately exchange patient information. I mean,
right.
It will find a way to do it, and it's going to be convoluted. It's going to involve AI, all this kind of stuff, or you can consider a number. We don't have to say that.
I know. That has to be something, right? Could be any number of things. Michelle, is that okay, or are we tiptoeing too close to the line? Because I want to be respectful of the boundaries as well, right?
I think that's fine. I actually think we already do that in the report.
Okay.
I think we just can't go that extra step further that people were asking for at this point.
Okay. So then maybe in this document, we instead of saying ONC cannot, because I realize that we can have all that, but maybe have another piece on here saying it is referenced in this section you know, like this, at least we can tell Terry, look, we heard you, we went up to the line, and it's addressed here, but we can't specifically do what you're asked to do by law. That way, at least during the high-tech meeting, you can tell them, hey, we took your comments, it is in here to the best that we could.
Right, and I'll clarify in this document, this one was, that column was designed to speak from ONC to the work group, and then we'll update these that column to say the work group recommends such and such once
okay.
We talk about it.
Perfect.
I want to point
perfect.
Out, too, that this is a long list, and so we did try to help you prioritize by marking things in yellow for ONC's addressing it but still working on it, and red for things that this group needs to talk about today. But you're also welcome to talk about anything in gray. Just we thought we maybe, you'll see further down things that were like a little, like a word change here and there. We just went ahead and made that change. But you can also address those if you'd like, if there's time.
Sure. Okay. Well, okay. So let's go then to the next slide here. There we go. We are now on, these should be just quick changes here. So it's public health, the original language, you know, this is one of those about the SANA project and Common Pass and whatnot. The suggestion was by Stephen to really talk a little bit more about wording and semantics of this one, right? So rolling out COVID-19 electronic case reporting, kind of what you were talking about, Brett, and those sorts of things. So these are
I'm not sure I would personally want to highlight that, but that's fine. If Stephen's had good success with it, then we can keep it in there.
Yeah, it's fine. I think it's fine. I think it's just an example of something that's out there. That's a minor change. I don't have any issues with that. Carolyn, you good?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. All right. So next comment on here is, again, public health. This is less than Stephen. This is the whole exposing deep systemic gaps within the nation's public health infrastructure, et cetera, et cetera. What the suggestion back was to really sort of double-click on the public health and interoperability infrastructure, and presenting sort of opportunity to improve bidirectional. That was a focus on bidirectional information sharing, which I thought was relevant and it was fair. I think we had it implied, but this is specifically calling it out. So again, a minor change, but I think it's important and it works. Do you guys agree?
Yes.
Yep.
All right. Next one, interoperability. This is Dr. Lane again. The original comment was around, although most clinicians now use EHRs, interoperability remains fragmented, several barriers exist. Stephen's comment back was, most clinicians use EHRs, interoperability remains somewhat fragmented, inconsistent across stakeholder groups, and several barriers need to be addressed. So the inconsistency was, I think, what ONC said, we need a sort of more support for the statement, but we need to be added throughout the report. Inconsistent may be, I'm going to just try to and maybe think about what Stephen was trying to reference. Perhaps here, Brett, he was sort of speaking towards the differences between states and the differences between resources and kind of what we were talking about earlier. You're the physician here. You know, what do you think when a physician says, or another physician says inconsistency, what does he or she mean?
What I would have thought Stephen meant, just trying to read his mind a little bit, is, you know, he's part of Sutter, and they've been exchanging information at a different rate internally and with their colleagues, you know, locally there at a different way than I have in Kentucky and Southern Indiana, particularly with, say, my clinically integrated network partners that are on disparate EMRs. So I'm okay with that, the term inconsistent. I'm just not sure what it adds. If we're saying interoperability remains fragmented and barriers need to be addressed. I mean, I'm okay to keep the words, but I'm not sure I understand what we gain with it.
Would variable be better than inconsistent?
Yeah. That, I like that. I think that may work. And that is also pretty stated throughout the report already. So it's not like we're adding some new nuance to this. Because the variability is, I mean, so clear. Michelle, what do you think?
I think that works. Thanks.
Okay.
And that wouldn't require additional support,
yeah,
right?
I don't think so. I think we're good on that one. All right, good. Next one, another Stephen one. This one is related to interop. So the original comment was tracking and sharing of health information to support health equity initiatives, tracking adverse patient safety events, et cetera, et cetera. His comment back, and attending to the needs of additional care settings are also essential for the nation. So basically, he really double clicks on health care, and we said health equity.
I'm not sure.
Support health and health.
I'm not sure what health care equity is. I kind of understand. I mean, I think there's been enough discussion around health equity that we all have a general sense of what that means. But again, going back to the rural versus city, different needs in different places. To have health care equity, you'd almost be saying that the available care in every location equally matches the needs of that population at whatever time and in way that they need it delivered. And I think that's probably more than what we mean and probably more than what health IT can deliver at this point. Health equity, I'd say, yeah, but health care equity, I think, is a stretch. And goes beyond
like,
the health IT area.
Right. Right. I was just about to say that. It's like the difference between telehealth and telemedicine, right? So one's a lot more broad, right, and really, really wide versus telemedicine, which is like the care and clinical component of tele. So that's interesting. I agree. I think if we're going to talk about health care equity, that's a whole another conversation. I mean,
yeah,
just that's to me.
And it would involve bringing in professionals from areas that are outside of health IT.
Brett, what do you think?
Yeah, I 100% agree with you guys.
So maybe on this one, for healthcare equity, it could be a table idea for next year. Like maybe there's a topic we could explore or something, you know, kind of on that parking lot list of ideas. So Stephen can say, hey, you know, we think it's important, but we really should, like, understand what it is, right, before we recommend anything on it.
Great approach.
Okay. Michelle, does that work?
Yes, that's fine.
Okay, let's do that. Okay, next one is another Stephen one. Again, this is looks like a minor change. so data generated or stored outside federal privacy laws are growing, et cetera, patients are often unaware. This one, his comment back was health data generated. It's not just data, but health data generated and or stored outside of the protection. Yeah, I think he's just clarifying what we're talking about as related for HIPAA. I guess we implied it, but I mean, it's a minor change. I don't see an issue with it. Brett, good?
Good.
All right. Next one then is target area patient access. So this is Stephen and Denise. I'm not going to read this whole entire thing out to you, but basically another minor change and essentially about shared decision-making about between patients and their caregivers and clinicians. And he's really just double-clicking on caregivers. And I think it's really that, if I remember Dee's comments, it was about other people taking care of others, especially the elderly and whatnot. So I think I can appreciate the small change. I don't see any issues with it.
Yep, I agree.
Okay. Before, let me see here. Let me go to another red comment. It looks like, what page is that? Can you scroll down until we find the next red comment? I'm looking at it. I think it's on page 4, the bottom of page 4. There we go. All right, public health target area bidirectional exchange. Stephen, we talked about the improved bidirectional interop between public health reporting systems and EHRs. His comment back was improved bidirectional interoperability between public health data systems, okay, and certified EHRs, or we could revise it, improved bidirectional interoperability between public health information systems and EHRs. I actually like the revised comment. That actually makes a lot of sense to me, but that's my personal take. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I think the revised easier to understand.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay. All right. So Michelle, we'll go with option number two there, please.
Okay.
All right. Next one looks like it is at the top of page 5 here. That's red. Is that right? Here we go. Yep. Button. All right. So crosswalk tables, so public health target area. Dr. Lane comments, compile a set of useful health IT resources to communicate with public health organizations. A comment was about communicate. Does this refer to communication resources or plan to share and develop HIT resources, new models of bidirectional communications? And the suggestion was originally made by Terry. So he's concerned is about communicate. What does that word mean? Communicate. I mean, for me, it's all the above. I guess I don't remember us denoting anything specific, like a plan to do X, although you would have said a plan to do X. Communicate to me means all of those, but what do you all think? Maybe communicate's the wrong word?
Well, if I remember, you know, part of it was Stephen, right?
Yeah.
I think it was that some of these public health organizations are unaware of what's available, some of the resources and things. I suppose it could be all of that if it existed. What I want to be careful with is saying, yeah, we want to communicate a plan to share and develop specific resources, but if they don't exist, then we're committing to creating that. Does that make sense? I think Stephen was just like, whatever's out there, we want to make sure that people are aware. I don't think he was talking about creating something new or a new plan. Do y'all remember it that way, or
are we talking about awareness raising?
Yeah.
Yes.
Set of useful help to raise awareness among public health organizations.
Yeah, I mean,
we could certainly check with Steve. That would be more accurate to what I understood he was trying to communicate.
Yeah, communicate just may be the wrong word. It may be raise awareness. It may be some other terminology that just basically means, hey, this is available for you. I'll give you an example. When ONC did the whole $20 million for public health reporting funding award last week, I guess the announcement went out. I mean, I forwarded to the state of Texas CIO and the team that runs the IIS systems here in the state of Texas. They're like, great, we didn't know about that. So, I mean, I can see that, right? People just are unaware of funding or resources or whatever. Okay, so let's try.
Could we just suggest that back to Stephen and see if that was truly what he was thinking, and then I guess if that satisfied Terry?
I think it's a great idea. Okay. Michelle, can we do that?
Yeah, we can do that.
Okay.
And I think you're on the right track, but maybe the word needs to be, so we can give them options with this other word or phrase.
Right, right. Raise awareness, something, whatever term works for that. Okay, let's keep going then. Next red one I see is on the next page, I believe. Is it the... Yes, okay, got it. Crosswalk table, public health target area, bidirectional exchange. This is from Denise. Original language is learn about the successes and remaining barriers to exchange by HIUs to support public health and their regional differences. This comment was, I suggest adding as a recommended activity for high tech here and other applicable sections for as part of expanding the charge of the TESCA task force to assess and make recommendations on how the RCE and qualified QHINs could address gaps in bidirectional exchange between clinicians, labs, and public health. Because if I remember right, she didn't want to just talk about things. She wanted to actually get something out there about this.
Are we able to actually expand the charge of TESCA?
I mean, they're going to reconstitute the group, right? So, I mean,
yeah.
I have no. I think it's from what I recall, and Michelle or ONC, correct me if I'm wrong. It's the original charter. It's just rebringing the group back together.
Well, some members may have ceased to be on the HITAC, and I don't know if they would continue to be on the TEFCA or not. And it might be that there are new people who've joined HITAC since TEFCA last converged that would want to be a part of it. Lauren might be able to share some light about that.
Yeah, I mean, we definitely, you know, as far as membership goes, we'll open it up to others. As far as the specific charge, I mean, obviously we don't have a sense of that quite yet, but I think, you know, we can assume it'll be pretty close to the previous charge with having the task force review and provide recommendations on the latest version.
Yeah, I mean, maybe
to learn
maybe
about the barriers. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I was about to say the same thing. Could we just, during that task force, can we talk about this topic and sort of educate the world via that task force? Just simply say, okay, what are the public health barriers? Exactly what Brett was just saying.
Yeah, because I suspect that the RCE and the QHINs could play a role, but if we don't know yet, you know, if the original language is, hey, we need to understand where the good things are happening and then where the challenges still live, I don't know how you come up with a plan. Just yet.
I agree. I think this may be an internal comment. It doesn't need to go in a report that we will transmit to the task force. Can you just educate, learn and educate? I don't even know across the country. I can tell you what the barriers are here in the Southwest, but I don't know.
Well, how about we add, you know, with something about making recommendations once we learn. I don't know that we have to get specific about maybe it involves TEFCA, probably does, but do we just expand the role, address regional differences with the intent to make recommendations on how to address the gaps?
We do that.
Something along those lines.
Carolyn,
I think that would address Denise's concern about, you know, wanting some action to it, not just discovery.
I'm good with that.
Yeah, okay. That works for me as well. Michelle's like, okay?
Yes, I caught it.
All right, perfect. Okie doke. Next red one I see is the bottom of page 11, I believe. Maybe? No? What page is this?
Do we want to also tackle yellow ones, Aaron, or do we want to do all the pink ones and then go back and do the yellow ones?
Yeah, I was thinking pink and then yellow, and then come back up to the yellows.
Yeah, I'm seeing the next pink one at the bottom of 11 in the draft that we received, but that might be pushed down to 12.
Yeah, it's Carrie O'Malley's comment. Yep. Yeah, that's the same one. Yeah. Okay, so just push them there. So that's fine. All right, so target area, exchange of health data across the care continuum. And then this one was add a recommended activity to topic, which is the immediate opportunity section, et cetera, leverage current federally mandated assessments or leverage current federally mandated assessment instruments as a basis for shared semantically interoperable data sets. Description of specific instruments can be added to the landscape analysis and gap analysis. Oh, I see. Versus it go into here, into this comment, we could call it out sort of generally and then point to another section for the specificity. That way it's clean. Is that just a bunch of jargon? Is that what you're referring to, Michelle?
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, okay. That makes sense. I mean, that way this actually reads for the generalist, and then they could always point to that section for those type of controls or assessment instruments. I'm okay with that.
Me too.
Carolyn, Brad, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's fine. Okay. Next one is the interop target area exchange of SDOH. That's Dr. Lane again. Add a recommended activity to the topic, seriously consider including level 2 SDOH elements into USCDI version 2, or suggest SDOH data elements for inclusion in the USCDI. So we'll be taking out the V2 comment and just talk about USCDI. Am I off? I thought SDOH is included in the latest proposed version 2 of USCDI. Am I wrong? I thought it was.
I don't think
like
so.
Like some element. Okay.
One thing I'll say I've heard from the staff lead for that work is that sometimes elements are actually embedded in a different category. So we'd have to kind of go ask that person, do you see any SDOH elements, or would you categorize them under a different group? That apparently happens with some mental health issues that came up recently.
Oh, okay. Okay, I see what you're saying. So it actually could be categorized something else, but it's a social determinant. Okay.
Yeah.
I see your point. I see your point. So by going with the revision, we kind of deal with that it may be SDOH, but it's not called out technically as SDOH, but it is. I see your point.
Zip code, is that what we're talking about?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. See, when someone says social determinants of health, I think like patient-reported outcomes, right? I think stuff like that, like, you know, PGH, you know, kind of data, right? So social, you know, are you in a food desert? You know, that kind of stuff. But I could see her point that other elements do cross sort of that threshold of SDOH. So they may not be called SDOH, they may be called something else. Okay. So then the revision for me, that makes sense.
There's also room to add more elements than what's already being suggested. So I think that it's still valid what she's saying. I just want to point out to this group that sometimes there are things that show up, you know, in the USCDI, they're called something else but still affect this topic area.
Yeah. I'm good with revision then. In that case, I'm good with revision. It makes sense.
Yeah, I'm fine with it.
Okay. All right. Brett, you're good?
Yes.
All right. Next, pink, I think, is third from the bottom on page 13, at least on my copy here. Yeah. That research. Yeah, there we go. All right. So this is Terry O'Malley one, sharing data with the research community. Add a recommended activity to the topic. Expand exploration of metadata standards beyond research to include public health data segmentation, authorized uses, and data flows. Does metadata stand on its own as a topic to be more inclusive? What is the gap it addresses? So Terry, I think, is putting my research informatics hat on. He is talking about the ability to mash up various data sources for qualitative and quantitative. And it's really an issue for quantitative and qualitative, but quantitative type research to figure out, does this piece of data actually like fit like a jigsaw puzzle? And that metadata helps you assess that and then see where it came from and establish data provenance. I mean, I get what he's talking about, but that's a huge metadata conformity is it's its own thing. At least in my mind, it may be worth being its own topic for future consideration because, I mean, it's huge.
It seems to me that it opens up, it suggests opening up like a whole other area of technologies requiring more standards, probably more policy, potentially revision of HIPAA, and some other things that we haven't even fully conceptualized yet, much less figured out how to get regulators and others moving on it. So it seems like it's almost too big. I mean, I can understand where, from his perspective, it's important and it is important, but I'm not sure that we're ready to tackle it yet, at least at this level.
I'm leaning that same way. Brett, what do you think?
So we're saying place it in as a future topic, but by itself because of the size?
I think so. I would recommend that.
Yeah.
I'd be fine with that. I think it is important, but it is one of those things trying to oh my gosh.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, I'm in my head trying to figure out how do I explain it in less than 1,000 words, and I can't, right? I mean, it's just, it's ginormous. And I only see a sliver of it, right? For him who eats and breathes that, he's just a preeminent expert, and I'm sure he has a whole encyclopedia of things that need to be addressed. All right, so we're going to, so Michelle, our recommendation is to take metadata, research metadata, data and data like that, and all those little nuances for a future topic to be expanded upon.
Okay.
All right. Next pink one I see is bottom of 15 on my copy, by Terry. Probably now. There we go. Yep, same one. All right. This is a Terry, patient safety, mobile health apps. Should there be an ISA section for app? So this is a section for app ranking, a consumer reports for apps. The federal government may not be able to host such a tool, but is there a private sector solution? Oh, this is the clearinghouse thing. Because right now it's falling upon us on the provider side to tell a patient, hey, don't do this or do this. I mean, it is a fair point. I mean, I don't want to take away from this. I don't know if there's a charge for us to do that.
It's not a bad idea, but I'm struggling to see how that would fit into ONC territory, never mind high-tech territory, because essentially you're talking about regulating apps or getting very close to regulating apps. And that's still kind of the Wild West.
And I know that the FTC and the FDA, because you heard that presentation last high-tech, they're considering apps, right, the whole medical device app ecosystem and that new approval process. I mean, like, the federal government is thinking about apps. We just may not know the latest, right? I'm just making this completely up. The FDA could come up with a new process for how to medically clear an app, right? Which then by default, they sort of become the Consumer Reports Better Business Bureau of apps. And they're totally making that up. That's not fact. They're just making that up. So there could be things going on that we just don't know.
Well, my sense is then that generally they don't really want to try to regulate apps because it's a huge area and there's a lot of,
right.
I mean, there are so many and it's such a gray area in terms of if an app is making a medical claim, that's problematic in the same way that it's problematic when unregulated, unapproved devices have claims made about them. But I'm not aware that that's an area that FDA is specifically trying to regulate or wants to regulate.
Okay. So maybe then that, for this one, we can put it also in the parking lot ideas, to double-click more, because I suspect we would need to talk to some more federal officials and figure out the temperature of things and, you know, allow for some marination to occur in the community. Because apps are in everybody's mind.
Yeah.
But it's a good point. I don't want to lose it. There should be something about a
consumer. What we need is a section in the report of cool stuff for high-tech members to discuss at high-tech summer camp, where we discuss all the stuff we're not allowed to discuss in our regular work.
Absolutely.
All right.
Well, while we're not talking about regulation, is there a place for a standardized structure to an app or how certain data elements are presented in an app? You're not telling them they can or can't do something, but in the hopes of better information exchange, or are the existing standards that are already out there take care of that?
No, that's a good question. I know that I have seen NIST publications that are out there around app security and privacy and configuration and standards and best practice guides. ONC has a phenomenal developer's guide that kind of tells you, do you like, are you going to violate HIPAA if you do certain things, you know? And they did a really good job of crosswalking that for English. So there's a lot of stuff out there. I just don't know if there's like one person or one group that has jurisdiction on that. I don't know. I don't know what the intent is. And to Carolyn's point, they may not want to. It may just be like this to allow for people to innovate. But it's a fair point, Brett. Maybe, I mean, I think if we put this in a parking lot, we can double click on it next year and say, okay, what do we, or for next report, what do we really want to talk about here? And what do we want to learn? Because by then, let's just presume, you know, information blocking now is an enforcement. You know, now we have supposedly ADT information flowing and all the other things that are supposed to happen this year. Claims data mysteriously, miraculously becomes available to the providers. You know, all that good stuff that we hope happens this year. So the app ecosystem should be very verbose by the end of the year. I mean, in theory. Okay, so Michelle, we're gonna put this on the parking lot to learn more about the next year's report.
Okay, great.
And I think that's all the reds. Am I correct on that?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, so let's go back up then to the yellows, so we can try to get through those.
Back up to page one.
We already did that one, right? Yeah, that was consistency and urgency. We already addressed that one, I thought.
Yes, I did. I think you did. Unless you have more.
Yeah.
I think you did cover
that. We did cover that one. So then we're going to go down to page, let's say bottom of page 8 for my copy here from Cheryl Turney.
Yep. Expand the scope of the gap to integrate more pandemic use cases that have emerged in recent months, particularly around data exchange for public health purposes. And then Les had an edit here. I guess the thought that occurs to me is, do we want to track unimmunized populations? Is it a matter of tracking, or is it a matter of measuring the prevalence of lack of vaccination, say regionally by state or something? Or are we actually tracking in the way that you like track and trace individuals using an app? And are we thinking about an individual level, or is this kind of more like we understand that in Arkansas the vaccination rate appears to be 73% and in Minnesota it's 84%? You know, what it seems to me, tracking sort of implies in individuals in a lot of contexts in the way it's used, and I'm not sure that's what they mean, and I'm not sure that would be even within something that the HITACH as a whole would support.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it goes up to the line, right? Brett, what do you think?
I would bet at least Les was thinking more along the line, a little bit smaller, not quite individual patients, individual people, but much more granular than by, you know, state acceptance. So like in Austin, there's a zip code that is 20% lower immunization rate
mm-hmm.
than others. Then do you, from a public health standpoint, reach out to those populations or educate in a different way? Or, you know, having listened to his comments over the last few years, I think that's where his were coming from. But it looked like there were more than just Les on this one.
I don't really have too much of an issue with this. I mean, I'm just reading it, I guess, now with that lens, Brett. Then I think he's just trying to give specificity to what the differences are there, right? What type of inequities would you track and why?
And how would you ensure that that data was being collected in a way that it isn't being used for discrimination,
right,
or other things that, that we want to avoid and we know
right,
can
right.
really happen?
Yeah, the intent would be the opposite, but you're right.
Right. Okay, well then I think with that lens, this makes sense that we should accept it then. I'm okay with it. You all?
Did you want, Carolyn, are you okay with the track, or did you want to change that wording?
Could we say monitor instead of track on immune populations?
Mm-hmm.
I'm good with that.
Yeah, that makes sense. All right. But that's a good nuance. Michelle, does that make sense to you?
Yes, I've caught that.
All right, cool. All right. And the next one looks like it is Arian's comment. Is that right? Yeah, there we go. All right, public health patient matching topic. So the comment from Arian and Les address alignment of incentives and certification programs to encourage an ecosystem to better match EHR public health data. Yeah, there's that ONC patient matching report. Okay. I knew it was coming. All right. So specific use cases will be covered under other topics of situation. Okay. This goes back to our earlier comment around a patient identification strategy, right? For all, across all data types. I mean, I don't know if we can get to a carrot and stick approach until we understand what it is that they're supposed to do. What do you all think?
I don't even follow the comment, I'll be honest. I don't even know what he's looking for. It sounds so nebulous to me that I don't know. So I'll defer to you guys. I'm not smart enough to understand Arian.
Can we put it in the parking lot and see if we get more understanding about what it means or where it comes from in the next year? It may be that it'll be clearer to us after there's been more rollout.
Yeah. And the public health, or the report is published, right? So once that report's published, we'll see a lot more.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go to the next comment then. This is Les, also patient matching. Address patient identity and matching needs to support tracking multiple vaccine doses of an individual over time. Well, yeah. I mean, yes. I guess I'm okay with this. I mean, but we kind of say this a lot. But, I mean, yes, this is important.
Yeah. Well, I found with Les's comment on some of his, it's like he provides a lot of great detail, but is that necessary for our report, per se? You know what I mean? Like, yeah, that's a great example of the need for patient identity and matching. But, again, I'm fine with it. I don't have any, but there is a limitation to how much detail you can put in an annual report. I don't know, or is there, Michelle?
You can add pages and pages.
Have you seen some of those congressional reports, Brett? I mean, you know, they go on thousands of pages.
All right, that's fair.
A lot of words in the dictionary, my friend. I'm okay accepting this. I mean, it's a valid, very valid point, very valid use case, one of billions of examples, but I think it's okay.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it pushes back against anything or contradicts anything else.
Exactly.
No, it's just, I mean, it's a use case that's existed as long as I've practiced. I mean, and I know it's come to light with COVID, but tracking somebody's immunization status and vaccine doses has always been a use case. So that's why I'm just like, I don't know if it's unique. I know it's unique for COVID, but it's also unique for an MMR or when did you have your IPV or Zostavax anyway.
Right, right. You're exactly right.
We'll go on.
You're exactly right. All right. Let's go to the next one here. And the next one I see is the bottom of page 14 from Les. Is that right? I want to, yes, that's it. All right. Les Leonard, basically, the member substantially rewrote this section, adding technical detail in the second paragraph and deleted the private security information. ONC will propose a concise and neutral web reference option for worker consideration. Okay, under biosurveillance. Oh, I remember this one. This is the one he really spent some time on. So I guess there's really nothing. I mean, Michelle, you're just going to email us?
Right. We have time next week to close out a few of these open items that still need some writing.
Okay. All right. We'll table that one then. The next one I see is under gap analysis, public health. Is that correct, Miss Yellow? Yeah. All right. Privacy and security, public health. Less again. The urgent need to be able to conduct nationwide surveillance and contact tracing of COVID-19, sure. Cell phone data. Okay, this was the location tracking versus contact tracing, which I think we're beginning to get this really muddied. He thinks the original text is Aaron. It's the United States now has broad experience of the use of privacy protecting Bluetooth proximity. Okay. The original text suggests it needs to be research or reference. Also suggests the text may be too technical. All right, so you'll send us what you think. I think just generally speaking, real quick, just so I guess our thoughts are, at least I'm going to say mine, I think this country has a long way to go with how to safely and maintaining privacy, use your location data, and ensure confidence in the person that's being tracked, that are not going to be used for nefarious or law enforcement or whatever other purposes other than public health. I think Bluetooth is one of many technologies that could be used for that. You could use cellular, you could do a lot of things. You could use credit card transaction data, you could do a lot of things. Contact tracing and case reporting is totally different than location tracking. Case reporting for contact tracing is, who was Aaron around? He was in the barbershop and you ran to Brett. Aaron's positive, hey Brett, how are you feeling? Did you know you're around someone that was COVID positive in the past 72 hours? Stay home and quarantine for a week, right? That's contact tracing. So I worry that we may be conflating. So I do look forward to, Michelle, your comments to us, how to keep this clear. Because I think even less may be intertwining the two. That's my personal take.
Yeah, I agree with everything you just said, Aaron. And I think with location data, we have other problems introduced, because as that plays out in the U.S. at this point, that's mostly related to where a smartphone goes. And, you know, I could take your smartphone and put it in my purse, and then suddenly you would be reported as being in all the places that I was, and you maybe were not. And that's, you know, how do we validate this data? We don't validate it at this point. But
that's,
I think, even a bigger issue is that the replacement text suggested does not remotely say what the report now says, and we have not had any discussion about the content and the topics in the replacement text at the high-tech level. So we have no way to try to assess whether that's the thinking of the high tech. I mean, I think it's clearly the thinking of the member. I can say there are certainly some things in the replacement text that I don't agree with, that I would never represent as my opinion. And I know of a few people who I believe would absolutely not agree with that also. So I think we need to look at another solution or the text that ONC, Michelle's team, can suggest and think about how that fits in, you know, because the report is not a vehicle for individuals to share their opinion as the collective opinion of a large advisory group, not for any of us.
Agreed. All right. Well said. Brett, what do you think?
Yeah, Carolyn, I think that was well said, because I would personally disagree that there's a broad experience with this. There's zero in my state experience with it. So, yeah, I think that's coming from Les's perspective, and it's great. I'm glad he shared it, but I don't think that's where it came from, the high tech, which is what we're charged to do.
I mean, Texas is very much no big brother allowed kind of thing. And so I did look at this location Bluetooth tracking just to investigate what is it. And I was told pretty explicitly by state authorities, do not have to go. Do not collect $200. Do not do this. Like, all right. And that idea got shut down quickly. So I think there's a lot of variability we've got to talk through.
Bluetooth doesn't even check out from the infrastructure level in a lot of places in the U.S., would it? I mean, some places we don't have the bandwidth and the stability of the bandwidth.
What was really neat, and I don't want to derail us, but there was a really cool anonymous algorithm that was developed in Europe, and I want to say they rolled it out in like Norway and a few countries.
Yeah.
That did use Bluetooth, but it like killed your battery. But it was done in such a way that it was like randomized, so that you really didn't know it was Aaron's Bluetooth signals, but you could correlate it somehow on the back end. It was like this really neat thing that some genius built on the other side of the world. But like even that wouldn't fly here, right? So I think there's a lot of room for discussion. Okay.
Question on that one. So are you saying keep the original text, or do you want to integrate anything from the suggestion?
I would like to see that the ONC new option.
Yeah.
I feel like the replacement text as presented really isn't a switch we can make, but if there is a suggestion from your team about integrating some of those ideas in ways that avoid the specific concerns we have, that, you know, that would be something to look at, I think.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we can do that.
Okay, next yellow, which is ONC is saying we should accept, is from Cheryl, Arian, Les, and Clem, again around vaccine tracking. We identified two gaps around vaccine administration. The comment would expand the scope of gaps to include more pandemic use cases that have emerged in recent months, particularly around data exchange for public health purposes. Okay, so I guess text to be coming out, which I guess is kind of goes in line with what we said earlier, which is we learn more since we started working on a report during this pandemic. So they just want, I guess, more use cases, which I'm fine with. Brett and Carolyn, I mean, I think that's fine.
Yeah, I am.
Yeah. All right, so that's fine. So Michelle, we'll just look forward to you telling us what's appropriate. Last yellow I see is the last one from John Kansky on research. Okay. So interop, John was saying that member may share a white paper that he authorized. Okay, with David. Yeah, I saw that. He did send that out.
I think I can forward that to you. I'll do it right now, Michelle.
Okay, great. Yeah, I don't think I saw it.
Yeah, he sent it to He sent it to me, Carolyn, and like Don Rucker. It was a great report. And Don actually weighed in saying, I really like this. It was a great, great report. It was a really interesting exchange of emails. But yeah, I think the whole crux of that was propping the HIVs up to be the focal point for pandemic response. It's basically the best way I can describe that report. But Michelle, you tell us what we want to say.
I just forwarded that email to you, Michelle, and I also had Asel on there. So if we have some email issue, Asel can forward it along to you right away.
Okay, good. Thanks. Yeah, I'll take a look and see if there's anything there we want to add to the report, or at least use as a reference.
Yeah. The other comments in this thing are really benign. We can go through them, all the blues, but. I mean, they're just, I mean, what does this group think? Do you guys want to just read them offline and make sure there's no heartburn? And I mean, because they're so minor, like minor changes, all the blue ones. And ONC is saying to accept them. I mean, Michelle, you tell us. We've got about 10 minutes left before we have, or whatever, 15 minutes left before we do public comment. Is there anything else urgent that was like the red or yellows you need to talk about?
I don't think so. Just maybe talk about process for next week. To make sure we can circle back and review. It'll be through email. So ONC will work with our contractor to come up with any extra research we need or any alternate writing, and share a draft report with the three of you, and then give you 2-3 days to respond back. And then we give it to the HITECH for approval on the 10th of February.
Yeah, that sounds good to me. I have a note on my calendar so that I am watching for it, and as soon as it comes in, I can sit down and dig in.
Good.
That works. That works for me. A little review. The blues, just cursory, make sure there's nothing there that gives us heartburn. I don't think there will be. I kind of glanced them. And then we'll look for the feedback that you're going to send us, Michelle, and we'll get back to you, and we're off for the races. Should we go to public comment now? Gail and Brett, what do you think?
I'm fine if we're allowed to, if it's not too early.
Yep, we'll just ask the contractor just to pull over the phone number for us.
Sure. If you would like to make a comment, please press *1 on your telephone keypad. A confirmation tone will indicate your line is in the queue. You may press *2 to remove your comment from the queue. And for participants using speaker equipment, it may be necessary to pick up your handset before pressing the star keys. One moment while we poll for comments. There are no comments at this time.
Okay, thanks. We'll leave the phone number up just in case we didn't give folks enough time to dial in. But I'll turn it back to Aaron and Carolyn for any closing remarks.
I guess I would just say thanks, everyone, for coming today, ready to work, and for getting through the comments and the discussion in an efficient manner. I think we're well placed to get our final draft together for the HITECH, and fingers crossed for a good review and approval.
Ditto. This is fun. Look, this will be a great report. This will be a great report, so I look forward to it.
Yep.
Okay. And then just one last check-in with the operator. Any comments?
There are no comments at this time.
Okay. Right. Well, we will adjourn for today, and we will talk again here relatively soon for our HITECH meeting.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Have a great day,
everyone.
Thanks.
Bye,
all.
Be safe.
Bye-bye.
See you. Take care.